Hello, and welcome to Holden Village. Today is July 31st, Wednesday. Today's session is titled, Meeting and Greeting Our Muslim Neighbors, The Faith and Practice of Islam, presented by Harold and Mai Vogelaar. It is number VOH-2002-08. Let's listen in.
Welcome is Assalamu alaikum. Peace be upon you. And the answer is Wa alaikum assalam. And salam or peace be upon you too. So this is the way that Muslim greeting. And today I would like to share you with my faith and my practice. These are the two main things in Muslim world that we hold for our living. The first one, we have to talk about the faith, because the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, spent 13 years talking about faith. It's a kind of a preparation for people to strengthen their faith, root their faith first, and then they are ready to practice whatever they believe in. The faith, we have six issues of faith that we have to mention and focus on. The first one is the faith in one God. We believe that only one God created us, and he was like our master, Harold. May not like this word, and we are the service, the servants of God. He said that this kind of relationship is putting human being down, because in Christianity you believe that you are children of God, but as Muslim we believe that we are the servant of God. He is our master. That's why we put him higher than us. And this is the first issues about our faith. The second one, we believe that besides human being, God creates other creators, other created in the world, the animals and things, including angels. Angels is created by the light of God. When we talk about angels, you may have the questions about Satan or the one that is doing something wrong. We believe that Satan or Shaitan or evil created from fire. So it's one kind of creator. But angels is another servants that God made, and all of them are in order. They never betray from God. They listen to whatever God talk to them. So God used angels in different duties. For example, on our shoulders, two of our shoulders, we have angels. On the right hand, make records of good deeds, and the left hand make a record of bad deeds. So we have to remind ourselves that whatever we do, we have to be make a record for these. And when the day, when you believe that the five issues, the day of judgment or the last day, God will call everybody from the buried from the earth and come back again, and the angels will get the report to him. We could not speak out, but the angels and all part of the body will speak out. So everything should be the truth. And another angels that we believe is the angels of death. When death comes, the angel will come to the people who close to the times, the end of their time, and invited them or welcomed them to back to the place where all the soul will stay there. And we believe that if you do good deeds, the angel will be gentle and give you warm welcome. But if you do bad deed, then the angel will be cruel on you or do something bad to you. That's why the sign of persons who are close to death, some of them pass away nicely and gently, but some of them has all kinds of difficulty. That's what we believe. Whether it's true or not, nobody can tell, because only the dead can tell us. And the third issues, we believe in the sacred texts or the scriptures. We do not believe that only the Quran was the message from God. But God will send the prophet, which is the fourth element, fourth issues. God will send the prophets to different groups of people. And then according to the prophet, he will give the message to guide us. He did not create us without any guidance. After created humankind, God sent the message, the guidance, like a handbook for us to practice. And we believe in the Torah, in the Old Testament, that was given through Moses. We believe in the books from King, from David, Torah, Sabur, from
Psalms,
yeah. Sabur or Psalm, that was given to King David. We believe in the Bible, but not the one that you hold it. We believe in the teachings of Jesus by his mouth. That is the real message, because Muslims feel uncomfortable when you try to rewrite or write it down according to your thinking in the Gospels, in different author. We believe that the word of God should come through the passenger of God. And the last one, the Quran, will be the last one. That's why Muslims focus on the Quran as the words of God, the true word, the literal word from God. We try not to change it because of the holy, of the sacred of that word. And many people just wonder why we believe that the Quran do not change or transfer, not the word translate. Because we translate the Quran into different languages, but we never transfer the Quran to another or improve it or edit it in any way. Because why Muhammad still alive during the month of Ramadan, we have 30 days of fasting. Each night of Ramadan we have a special prayer. It's a long one, and during those prayer we recite the word from the Quran from the beginning until the end during those 30 days. And those who listen to the recite to the words of the Quran will check, make a checking and balance whether it is correct or not. If they have some doubt or some confusions or contradictions in those recite, they have to go back to the original one or find out the people who can make a judgment whether this is from the original one or not. And during the time that the revelation came down from Muhammad, people that Muhammad himself could not read or write, but he memorized all these words, and people around him tried to make a record on the leaves, on the bones, or everything that they could write it on. So after Muhammad passed away, the first edited is to check from the hearing, and the second one after Muhammad passed away, I think during Caliph, the third Caliph, he tried to make it into a book, and later on people printed it. But after this, after the time of Muhammad, every year the recite of the holy scriptures have to repeat it again. So the checking and balance appear every year. So that's why Muslims refer it as the book that never changed. The fourth one, the prophet, because we believe that God sent his messengers in different groups. So we do not believe that Muhammad, peace be upon him, himself is only the prophet. The prophet was sent out in different times, different groups of people. 25 names was mentioned in the Quran, including Abraham, Noah, Adams, Jesus. Jesus is one of our prophets according to Muslim faith. And this prophet, everyone, Muslim has to respect everyone equally. No one is better than other one, because the message are different. And the prophets has two groups. The first group is the prophet who just practice the teachings without scriptures, and the other groups practice the teaching with the scripture. So whatever happens, even right now, a Muslim scholar discuss about Lord Buddha, whether he should be one of the prophet, because he has a guidance for people to practice. But Lord Buddha himself did not mention about the names of God, but he talk about karma. But karma is the power one that control everything. He never mentioned or used the word God. But we still suspect that he should be one of the prophet, because he give the guidance of people to practice good deeds. The fifth one is the last day. Muslims believe that we have only chance for one life to practice whatever we believe and do good deed. So one life that we have on this earth should be recorded and should make a judgment. Who will judge us? In this world, you could not find the person who give you justice, because God will judge you not only your deeds. Sometimes you have good plan to do, but you could not finish it. You have some struggle with some things on the way. God judge you from your heart. When you start doing good deeds, God give you a record. That's why we need the last day of judgment. When we die, God will judge us according to our deed. People can judge us only outside. From the outside, they could not judge us from deeper inside, for our intention. So the last day, or the day of judgment, is required for Muslims. That's why we believe that we have to do all kinds of good deeds on this life, and we have to have a responsibility for whatever we did in this world. And the last issues of faith is the predestination. A predestination is kind of difficult to explain even among Muslims. We believe that only good deeds, only good things come from God. It's only human beings make all bad things according to our will. And we believe that God give like a blueprint as a whole constructions of our life. He knows whatever we would like to do. When we study, we have a Bible study, and we think about what God has in his plan, and sometimes we change his plan, sometimes we challenge him to let him find out whatever we would like to do. But for Muslim, we will not treat God like that. We treat God as he has for one life. He may have 100 or 1,000 plans, but he give us free will to choose each plan. God know what is the end of that plan. So we are free to choose one, and then we keep on going on that one. But God know already. God may not change anything, but we are the one who change. That's why any time when Muslim has to make a decision, especially the leader, we will not make a decision exactly. When we have a kind of meetings or discussions, the group of Muslims will start on the right-hand side, give the idea. Everybody has to share the idea. And finally, the leader will ask for God to give him wisdom to choose the best things. And then everybody has to make an agreement, which is different from democracy. You raise your hands, and the majority will win, or not win. The majority will be the voice to do something else. But in Muslim community, the leader will make a decision, and they follow all the followers will follow him and agree with him, no matter it will be good or bad. That's the way we deal with this. We will not argue with God. I think for Muslim, arguing with God is something that is not proper, because we are the slave, we are the servants. We will not challenge God. We lift God upper. That's one thing. And predestinations, I think some things that God planned, like when will we born, or when will we die, or where will we die. God has the plans already. These are all records. But sometimes during the time when you're still alive, it's our free will, it's our free choice to choose. But something God planned, that is predestination according to Muslim understanding. I think, is there any questions along for this? Yes, please.
On the sacred text, if the Quran is the actual words of God, mm-hmm. it's what he spoke to Muhammad in the cave, is that?
The way that God revelation give his revelation to the prophet Muhammad by three ways. The first one, he sent angels in the figures of human beings to talk to Muhammad himself. And the second one, just send a voice through you. He never saw the figures, but hear the voice. And the third thing is something behind the curtains. If he stay inside the house, he finds something behind the curtains, the sound or the voice or whatever behind the curtains. That was the revelation came down.
And then someone wrote that down from Mohammed?
No.
How did it achieve written form?
Yeah. Whenever Muhammad heard this, according to the traditions of the Arabs in those times, they kind of have a good memory. So he memorized all these words. And because the Quran is a kind of rhythm, I wrote show it for you. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Kun huwallahu ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. You see the rhythms of the word. It's kind of easy to remember. And the Arabs has a mind to remember this thing. So he remembered this. The first surah that was mentioned to Muhammad is Iqra. Iqra is to read. And Muhammad said, what? Because he could not read. Iqra. Iqra was mentioned 2 or 3 times or 4 times. And then Muhammad has to memorize this word. No matter you can write or read, but you have to memorize this word. Iqra means to read. This is the key. Muslims say that. This is the keys of the Quran. If you would like to study about religions, you have to study. Not only read, but education. You have to find out more education about the words in the Quran. And the Quran challenged you that if you would like to find out something else, you can find it in the Quran. How can we find it? We have to read more and study more about that. Yes, please.
If the Muslims believe in that Jesus was a prophet, mm-hmm. where does he come to the Quran? Through some of the testaments that were written about it, or from some other method?
We believe that it was the voice from God, the revelations of God. Mentioned that. Is that what you're asking for? Because you confused whether Muhammad borrowed the story from the Christians by those time and write it down in the Quran, right?
I don't know.
We believe, as a Muslim, we believe that every word from God came down directly to Muhammad through the book, through the Quran itself.
God spoke of Jesus and the things that he did.
Yeah, and God mentioned that Maryam is a pure woman, is a virgin woman. And many places in the Quran mention things that are different from what the Bible says, like King David. I think King David has many concubines, but in the Quran we not say that he did something wrong. Just say that he was one of the prophet there. Never mentioned about that, or even Solomon talk about the palace. Never mentions any prophet in bad way in the Quran. Every prophet that we believe in is good man, because how God choose the prophet from the bad person, even though these people may be bad or have bad biography, but whenever God choose these people, he must clean up these people, and after being chosen, these people should start all good deeds. How can God choose the one? And he kept on working in the bad deed. We believe that when God choose the persons, he are close to God, and God give them guidance. How can he miss the direction? He should be better than us. That's why we raise up all the prophets as our example. And Jesus is a rather difficult example. How can you love your neighbor? How can you love your enemy? How can you give love to everybody? It challenged Muslims very much to do such a thing. And I think it's challenged all Christians too. So this is the way that we respect all the prophets. Is there any questions? These are the six issues of faith. And then when we have faith, it's not enough. This is one thing that I and Harold discuss about this. When you are Christians, you receive grace from God after you baptize, after you become Christians. But as a Muslim, we believe that not only you say that you are Muslim, you can get all good deeds. You have to prove yourself that you would like to be a good Muslim by practice the teaching of Islam. So after you have your faith in six issues, then you have to practice another five pillars. That's the way to prove your faith. The first one is the confessions. If you would like to be a Muslim, you have to confess yourself in the public that you would like to be a Muslim. And the witnesses will be your witnesses all the time that you are Muslim. How can you practice? Did you do your prayer? Did you eat pork? Did you drink? This is why we need the public to watch us in the way that Muslim have to practice, and you have to confess it in the public. The confession or shahada have two parts. The first one is La ilaha illallah. There is no God but only one God, Muhammadur Rasulullah, and Muhammad is a passenger of God. Some Muslim believe only this word, exactly the words, because Muhammad is a passenger of God among other passengers. But some Muslims believe that Muhammad is a sealed prophet is the last one, is the one that was sealed, that was proved by God. And it means that everything stopped by Muhammad. So there are many ideas about Prophet, whether Muhammad is the last one or Muhammad is one among the Prophet and there is another one. But according to the Quran is the last message of God. It's complete, everything is complete in the Quran. That's why some of the scholars believe that Muhammad should be the last Prophet. When you confess, it's not enough for you to confess to become a Muslim. You have to pray 5 times a day. We call it Salat, it's a prayer. And I will talk about the prayers again because I would like to participate in the prayer and show it to you. And there are more details about prayer. But 5 times a day. The third one is Zakat. When you pray, this is the kinds of relationships between humans and God. We have 3 directions. The first one is the direction from God to us. The second one is from us to ourselves. We believe that the body is the gift from God. We have to take care of our body. You could not just let it go, make it whatever you would like it to do. That's why partly suicide bomb is not accepted in the Muslim community. The body of God. How can you destroy the body of God? You have to keep it in good shape and do good deeds and take care of it, not destroy it. And the third one is your relationship with the community, the people around you. If you would like to be a good man, a good person, you could not be good for yourself. You have to be to train everybody in the community to be a good man so that you can live in peace, you can live in happiness. If you train your kids to be good, you have to be worried about whenever these kids go to another kid, which is maybe good or bad. Why don't you be good? Make people be good and everything should be in order in the community. That's the idea. So the first one is the relationship between Muslim and God. We have to pray. The second one, the first one and the second one is for Muslim to God. The third one is the relationship with the community. If you faith in God, but you did not do anything, you just keep yourself good. You did not take care of people around you. How can you be a good Muslim? In Islam, because according to the video showing that Muhammad start with an orphan and have the widow, so in Islam, all the teachings about the community focus on the orphans and the widow. They are the groups of people who need care. So if you would like to take care of another person, focus on orphans, focus on widow. Other persons, they have somebody to take care already. This is the things that we have to do. So zakat is like an giving. When we earn our living, we get our salary. After 1 year, we have some money left. Cut down all the cost of living. We have the money left. We have to pay 2.5% of the money that left for 1 year. Give it to the orphans, give it to the widows, to the community. It's not much. But in my country, as a minority of the people, we have to pay double because we have to pay zakat and we have to pay tax for the government. And in here, we have to pay double to, no, triple. You have to pay zakat, you have to pay state tax, and then you have to pay federal tax. This is the way that we deal with the community. I think as soon as we have money, enough money to pay, that's fine. But this is the kind of thing that we have to share and take care of the community. And the fourth one is Ramadan, the fasting, the month of fasting. after you take care of other people, it's only one way communication you just give to the people. But how can you get the feeling of the orphan, of the widow, of the one that have no food, when each time that you have food on the table, everything is ready for you? But how about the people, the homeless people, have no food, no place to stay, no shelters? The practice during the month of Ramadan teach us how the people feel. And partly, I think, would like to focus on our honesty. You have to be honest to yourself. When you fast, you may be in the room by yourself, you can eat all things, but you have to be honest by yourself. If you believe that two angels on your shoulder, you believe that God is with you everywhere, you are with God. So fasting is not only to share the feeling with people who have nothing to eat, but to share the feeling and the honesty to yourself, to practice honesty to yourself. And in this month, we have to fast from sunrise to sunset without any kinds of food, no drink. Not only food and drink, we have to be careful about our deeds, our words. Speak out, you have to speak good words to other people, because if you could do good deeds in this month, you can gain. This is another strategy is that deal with Muslims. If you do good deeds during this month, you will gain more merit. But if you do bad deeds, it also doubles. So many Muslims try to gain merit during this month, so we practice this. And we have all kinds of exceptions. If you need the treatment, the medication, medical treatment, you need the pills to eat, you can, if you need the medical treatment during this month, you can do the fasting another month, but you choose to count 30 days in 1 year. But if the treatment need for long-term treatment, you have to pay according to what you eat for 1 day to the poor or the people who need it each day that you miss it. Or if you are in trouble, you can accept this and make another days for fasting, counting down 30 days. The women, during the menstruations, we lost our energies and our blood on this. We are accepted not to fast during this month of Ramadan, but we have to do another day. So it's quite clear. We start this practice, all kinds of practice, after the kids, the girls have the menstruations and the boy has their wet dream. It's a maturity, the religious maturity. So we have this kind of thing. But for prayer, we practice it when the kids are 7 years. By 14 years, they have to do it by themselves. And fasting, we let the kids start it like half a day first. When afternoon comes, they can have their lunch. But when they are grown up, they practice it. When they are ready, they can do the whole day. But they enjoy doing that because they can share with their families. And when the time comes, we have to sit all together at the table and we eat together and we pray. And we do some special prayer at night, reciting the whole of the Quran during 30 days. And the last thing is the Hajj, the pilgrimage. The Hajj is one thing that required to those who are ready. What kinds of ready? The word is open. When you are ready, it means that you have enough money to take this trip over there. The time for the pilgrimage is about 1 week, but people spend lots of money, so they would like to stay there in the holy place. Some of the trip, you have to pay the whole trip for 40 days, including board and room and food. Everything is in this amount of money. That's one thing. And your health, if you are in good health, you can go there. But these two conditions, it means that your family or people who stay in at home are comfortable. If they are not comfortable, you have to borrow money from other people, or your family still struggle. One of the family have to go there, and the other one, the rest of the family still suffer on that. It's not the proper thing to do. You have to wait. But one in your life is enough. That's requirement.
Is that to Mecca? To Mecca?
Yeah, to the Mecca. The pilgrimage is in Mecca in Saudi Arabia. We have two cities, main city that we will join this. The first one is Mecca. We practice this. And besides Mecca, during the Hajj, we have to go to the place where Abraham slaughtered the son, and we have to throw the stones. There is one stone. The place, there has a pond, the place like this, the fireplace, and then the pole on in the middle. It's a big pole. The story is about Abraham when he tried to kill his son. The devils came, and the Satans came and told him that this is your son, don't kill him, you love him. Then the prophet pick up the stone and throw to that. We practice this. We have three poles of the stones, but the way we practice is to throw the stone, not throw it to the pole. If you throw the stone to the pole, it will not count. We have to throw 7 stones each pole. We have to throw the stone and drop before the pole. I think when I study about Christianity, you have the teachings about love the sinner but hate the sin. I think this kind of teaching, it's behind this practice. You will not throw the stone to the post because the post is the sinner, but you drop the stone in front of the post. So the sinner have a chance to repent and do good deeds again. And sometimes we believe, according to Muslim, we believe that we was born pure, but the environment, all these things, give us another guidance to do bad things. So we have the potential to be good, but the evil whisper on our ear to do bad things. So we did this according to the idea. And we did the walking between Safa and Marwa, two of the hills, like Hagar did, seeking for the waters. We did that. And in Mecca, we have the big building. We call it Kaaba. The black people call it black stone, but the building itself is in cubit. It's made of the brick, the rectangle brick, big rectangles. Inside is hollow, and they cover. This is the piece of cloth. It's made in different places around the world. I think one year I went there, I heard that it was built in, it was made in Japan, and it covered the whole building. And at the corner of the building, there is the stones. The stone itself, it is a black stone. The black stone itself is a small one. There are many stories about these stones. The one of that is the stone is dropped down from heaven. It was white, but people touch it, and because of the sin from people, make it black. But I'm not sure, because this is not the, it's still a story. We could not find whether it's truth or not. But finally, this stone is black. But right now, it was broken in small pieces, and they have a kind of gum, a black gum, attached at the corner, and then put the stone inside and wrap it. The size of this black one, this whole black, is like our face. You can try to kiss it. But when the prophet practices, and one of his khalifa, the caliph after him, say, if the prophet did not practice this, he will not kiss this stone, because it was a stone. It's a material. We do not pray or make it become idol for us. The main idea to use this black stone at the corner of that building is to make a count, because we have to count seven. We have to walk seven rounds this building. So if you could not find the starting point, you may confuse about this, because all these corners are the same. That's why they put the stone at one corner. And each year, I think some years, the government of Saudi Arabia moved this around. It doesn't be at that corner all the time. He moved it around the four corners. And at one part of this plane, I think they have the main ground around this building. And one corner of the building is another. It's like a shelter. Inside, there is a footstep. Muslims believe that it was Abraham's footsteps over there when he built Kaaba with Ishmael.
Are there footprints in the stone?
Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah. But we could not see it, because they had a cover, a small cover on one side, and they built another shelter on the other side. So most of the pilgrimage is to remember the way that Abraham did in the past. These are the practice of Muslims. Is there any questions about the pilgrimage? Yes, please.
Yes, why did Moses and Ishmael build the Kaaba?
Abraham's and Ishmael helped it. We could not find out the reason, but it was built. It's the story, and the story, I think it's mentioned in the Quran, that they were built together. And because right now we find the evidence like this, because it was built already, so we have to believe whatever we saw over there. That's the main thing. I could not find the clear answer for you. And now I would like to practice the prayer. The place, the first one is the place of prayer. We can pray any place that is clean. So Muslim, whenever the time comes, Muslim can find out the space and pray. But for the convenience, we find out the mat. Mostly the pictures on the mat will be a Kaaba like this, or the picture of the mosque, or the one with the decoration with flowers. That would be another type of mat. And we think that according to the mat, we will find it more comfortable, because we have to have one prostrations down on the floor. And we have two kind of cleansing. Prayer is a kind of cleansing. The first one is to clean part of the body, and the second one is to clean your heart. The posture is to clean your heart when you recite the words from the Quran. And we use the Arabic as a media to recite the one of the scriptures, one chapters of the scriptures during our prayer. The cleansing of part of the body will start with hands. every time when Muslims do things, we start with the right hand, because we believe that right hand is for working in everything. It's good. The left hand side just using for cleansing in the toilet. So we start with the hand first, and then we wash our mouth and put the water, some waters in the nose. We did it 3 times, and then the face 3 times, the area of the face, and then the hands to elbows, both sides. We wrapped the waters and wrap it on the hair and ear. And the last part will be our feet. And then we are ready. We use water for cleansing in any things. For women during the period, could not pray, do the prayer. You have to clean up, take shower and clean up part of the body, and then we can go to pray again. When we are ready, when you use the water to clean the ablutions, do ablutions, it wake you up. It's refresh, give you refreshment for the body, and you are ready to present yourself in front of God. We think that if you would like to go to see God, even though it was a private time for you and God, you have to prepare yourself, not just to go. But you can pray in any places, but not in an official one. This is an official to see God, so we have to prepare ourselves. When everything ready, we have the place. Oh, sorry. We will talk about the time later on. The prayer has the 4 main postures. When I do the 4 postures, it means 1 set. And the last one will be the last set. After we finish the whole prayer, each time of prayer have different sets, but the 5th one will be the last one for the prayer. The first one, we have to stand up and face to the directions of the Kaaba. In Bangkok, I have to face west, but here I have to face east. It's different directions. But sometimes you confuse about the directions. No matter, I can pray any direction because God is in all directions. But if you could find the correct direction, you will do it after on. Sometimes when I travel at night, when we arrive someplace at night, I face this side. Early in the morning, I found that this is not the east, so I have to face another direction, but it's fine. It's work. When you are ready, you face to the direction that you have to do, to Kaaba, to Mecca. The first direction is to raise your hand up and put your right hand over your left hand at the level of your chest. This is the first posture, standing posture. We are ready to pray. We concern ourselves. Make attention to do the prayer, and we recite the words from the Quran. And the second posture is to bow. And this level, in some cultures, we have to bow down the kings and the queens on this level. But for Muslims, we could not. We will keep all this posture only for God. And it's serious among Muslims. In my cultures, we have the king. Every time when we go to see the king, we have to bow down or prostrate to the king. Muslim will be far in the back side. We never go in the front and never do these things. The third one is the prostration. We put our forehead, 2 hands, and 2 knees down. This is the posture that we believe we are closest to God. God is above us. We are so low. We ask for forgiveness. We ask for the blessing from God by the time we do this. And the fourth one is a sitting posture like this. These are all 1 set. And the last one is to bend on the right-hand side and say, Assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you. and the other side too. According to the belief that we have two angels on our shoulders, but as my understanding, I think the teaching is not only the angels. When you pray, you can pray individually or play with the others. Especially we have the congregation prayer or Friday prayer at noontime. You have to sit beside other people. It will be good for you to give peace to people who sit close to you. And from my understanding, it should be more than the people who sit close to you. Because Islam, the name of Islam itself means peace. You have to make peace with your neighbor who stay close to you, to your house. And not only the neighbors, how about the environments around you? We learn right now that if we are good to environments, you will be in good shape. The environment will good, give good things back to you. I think this kind of experience I learned from my prayer. And you will have the questions about the posture. If you could not do this kind of posture, how can you do the prayer? We have a chairs in the mosque too. You can sit and bend and move yourself around. Just make a sign that you follow this posture. Or even you are on the bed, you could not move, you can just turn up your eyes and blink your eyes and do kinds of signs to make the posture according to this posture. That's a way we do. And the times of prayer, we have five times of prayer. The first one is dawn. Second one is noon, afternoon, sunset, and evening. Dawn is right now is about 5 o'clock in the morning. And noon times, I think it's about 12:30. Afternoon is 4 or 4:30. Sunset here, I think it's about 8:30. And evening is before you go to bed. The names of each prayer, the first one is Fajri, second one is Zuhri, third one Asri, Maghrib is sunset, and Isha is the evening. Dawn is to set still early in the morning. We pray for God that He give us life again. When we go to bed, it means you are half dead. Sleeping is half dead. If you wake up, it means you have another life. We give thanks to God. During noon and afternoon, it's kind of break. You are serious about your work. You may have all kinds of conflicts with your friends, with your boss, with all things around you. It's a kind of break for you to pray for God. If you do good things, you ask for help to finish that task. If you do bad things and do something wrong, ask for forgiveness. And then it's fine for you to start even a short time again. And sunset is three set. The second and fourth is four sets. Sunset is three sets. When you finish all the tasks outside, you go back home by sunset. During the twilight zone is the time to pray. You give thanks to God to go back home, back to your family again. And the four sets for evening, you give thanks to God to give you strength and wisdom to finish your task for the whole day. Then you go to bed. It's kind of a thing that Muslim practice. Yes.
What happens with people like physicians or nurses who work all night long? What changes are made, if any?
Yeah, this is one thing that Muslims try to arrange this and work it out. If you can find, only when we pray, we spend like 4 or 7 minutes. 7 minutes, I think the longest one is 7 minutes. If you can find out the space, we just do it and finish it, no matter. When I work in the office, I used to work in the Ministry of Education. I look after the Islamic curriculum. I pray in my place, my desk, between the desk and the chair. Just move the chair, and then that is the space we can pray in that. It depends if you can find out the place. Even now in Bangkok, at the airport, they have a room, a special room for Muslims to pray. Whenever you are in a hurry and you wait for the next flight, you can pray over there.
But see, I think she was meaning that if you say the nurse comes to work at 11 o'clock at night and he's sunset, maybe she's sleeping at noon, then what?
No, we have no excuse. Even though you work at night, you still have times to wake up.
If you can't do it by, you can make it up the next time, right?
Yeah, if you are in trouble, we make it. You can put two times together.
Oh.
Now, if you are working, or some scholar make it easier for you, just put noon and afternoon time together.
Oh.
If you are busy, it depends on you. How busy you are, how can you practice that? Make noon and afternoon together, and sunset and evening together, you can do that. And in traveling, when you are travel, you can make it shortened. The set of four can make it into two, but the two and three could not make it shortened. You can make it together and shorten it during the trip. Like when I stay here, I make it shortened and together. That's the way we made it. And if you could not, we have many options. You have to pray five times a day. If you could not, you make it together. And if not, you can do it. The intention is that you want to do it. If you could not do the whole set, you can make it after you are free. Whenever you are free, you do it, as it was mentioned five times. But nobody can tell you whether it will be accepted from God or not. It depends on you. Again, when we talk about grace and work, Muslims say that we have to work to prove ourselves according to our faith, but we have to ask for grace from God. It's only Him who can give us the reward. We could not make sure that if I do good deeds, I should get the reward from God. No. It's only God, who was the owner of the reward, will give us that kind of thing. Yes.
I have a question.
Yes, please.
Is there something similar to baptism, initiation into the Muslim faith, like a baptism or a ceremony or something where a person becomes a...
Yeah, we have the confessions.
The confessions.
Yeah, the confessions. One of the five pillars.
I came in late, so I apologize.
Yeah. It's okay.
At what age does that occur?
Pardon?
At what age does the confession occur? Any age?
How old?
Or would a little kid, a little tiny child?
If you was born as a Muslim, you will be accepted, because the parents will teach you. But if you would like to become a Muslim, you have to have your conscience. Yeah. Because you have to respond to the words that you say, you pronounce in the public, not just want to pronounce it, you have to have a response.
How do you, as a Muslim, in Christianity, there's Christians and there's Christians. And in Islam, there seems to be Muslims and then there's Muslims. There's different people that think kind of weird. What do you think is going on? Do you think that's mostly a cultural thing, or do you think that's a... What's your spin on that as being inside the faith?
Yeah, I can understand this quite well, because Islam go to Asians by the notions. We are not Muslim by the originals, but we accept Islam to our community. I think partly Islam came as a teaching, and then the cultures and traditions is under that. So it's kind of mixing between the teachings and the cultures. And that's why we have Muslim, Arab Muslims, which has one culture. You can see the cultures of Arabs cover all part of the body, even face. That's a culture. But in Asia, we do not cover it. Just like only the hair is enough for us. But even that, there is some groups of Muslims who cover in Asia. There are some special groups, but they influenced by the Arab idea.
Do you still, I mean, as Muslims in Asia,
mm-hmm.
then the Arab take on, the Arab understanding on things
mm-hmm.
tends to be the preferred way of understanding Islam?
Yeah, some of the Arabs claim that, because Arabs was the original Islam, so you have to follow whatever. The key is the education. If we just listen to the Arabs, we will follow all the Arabs. But I think in the Asians, we try to read the Quran, the book itself, and find out what is the intentions of the words and how can we adapt it. According to my understanding, the true religions is not a fixable, but the flexible. And there is a word in the Quran that say that God will not put any burden on you. It should be according to your capacity. So I think I feel comfortable from this word from the Quran. We could not say that this law should be practiced all over the world, because people are different. The situation, the area, and of climate. In Alaska, you could not just use these patterns. You have to count down the hours. You could not use this sunrise and sunset, or these kind of things. And the Quran said that the Arab is not the best. The white or the black is not the best. But the best persons in the sight of God is the true believer, the one who believes in God. And those one should be the one who practice the words of God. I think that's the idea.
Well, I think it's time for past
yeah.
time, so we need to just
Sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.